From the studios of Books in Motion, this is J.P. O'Shaughnessy reading Black Clouds and Epitaphs by Pete Peterson. Now, let's begin with the prologue. August 1865, Corsicana, Texas. He heard only the sounds of a fisted cough from a sentry, the soft wickers and stamping of horses from the rope corral, the rise and fall of snoring from darkened tents as false dawn crept into camp. Lieutenant William Tracy Garrett had not slept. He had tossed in his blankets. The remembered thunder of cannon and charging hoofbeats, the crack of rifle and pistol shot, the screams of the dying, all ringing in his head. He had smelled anew the gun smoke, the stench of gangrenous wound, of blood, and of fear, and of the decaying dead. Trace, as he was called by his comrades in arms, pushed to his feet, smoothed at his rumpled uniform, and stumbled out the flapped opening of the tent into a thickening fog. Squinting against the dimness, he surveyed the encampment. The angular shapes of white canvas tents squatted like ranks of slope-shouldered specters in the morning haze. Shuddering from a graveyard chill in the air, Garrett fished out the makins and rolled a smoke, lighting it in cupped palms. He inhaled deeply and started to walk. As he strolled among the rows of canvas shelters, he considered the past 4 bloody years spent with these men, troopers of the Missouri Cavalry Division, the Iron Brigade of Brigadier General Joe Shelby, elite raiders of the Confederacy. No command on either side of the conflict had seen more action or had been more successful at the deadly business of war. Garrett stopped and looked about him, pride stiffening his spine and straightening his posture. Why, on the great raid into Missouri in 63, he and these brave soldiers had thundered 1,500 miles in 34 days, fought a dozen battles in a hostile area filled with 50,000 of the enemy, capturing or destroying $2 million worth of property and supplies, killing, wounding, or capturing well over 1,000 Federals. The raider was a new knight on the military chessboard, a skilled and crafty gladiator on horseback who dazzled by speed, riding 50 to 100 miles a 24-hour day, fighting 8 of those hours and sleeping in the saddle, fasting and battle fatigue. Shelby's men had been the finest of such warriors, fighting valiantly but unheralded in the theater of war, orphaned by their own high command. They possessed a dashing elan and esprit de corps, unexcelled by any force in the war. Volunteers and recruits to a man, not a draftee or a conscript in the lot. The Iron Brigade had known lonesome bivouacs in the thickets and patches of timber, where the demons of hunger and cold of winter hovered over the sleeping camp, when the fates were the choosers of who would die on the morrow for the cause, a vague purpose of which most of their number were ignorant. They were common men in a politician's war, but they fought for home and loved ones, and for the right to self-determination. These were his comrades, like family, closer than brothers. He had, on many occasions, been willing to lay down his life for them. But now? General-in-Chief of the Armies, General Robert E. Lee, surrendered his Army of Virginia at Appomattox on 9 April, sending waves of shock and disbelief throughout the Trans-Mississippi Confederacy. Generals Johnston, Beauregard, and Maury soon followed Lee. President Jefferson Davis and his cabinet had fled Richmond. A demented, misguided actor named Booth had put all hopes of a negotiated peace or gentle readmittance to the Union to rout when he fired a bullet into the brain of Abraham Lincoln on 14 April. bands of dispossessed Negroes.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?